Welcome to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andale Banks, your host. Wish Upon a Star is a dynamic radio program spotlighting talent in the arts arena with discussions of the challenges and some advice in making it in the visual, musical, literary, painting, and performing arts. As a unique part of the show, we will interview professional guests, experts in the fields of entertainment law, copywriting, studio recording, publishing, and promoters, all relative to this highly competitive industry. The holidays are upon us. And when it comes, what comes with it but joy, family, friends, and all the cultural identification pleasantries? When we think of decorations, we usually think of things that best express your culture, your attitude, and personality. Even when we are scheduled to attend a fabulous function, what to wear comes to mind. What better way to exemplify this tradition than with the colorful, exuberant fashion and distinctive cloth patterns of your specific culture? What else could be more eye-catching than a special design created by a fashion artist? The African textiles, designs, colorfulness are varied and have immediately recognized textures in dashikis, sarongs, from tribes such as Maasai, Shuka, Kanga, and Kai-Koi. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, who would better know than most that the fabric's expression is not complete without the right design. Our expert on this topic is Yeshaya Israel, fashion designer and owner of YBI African Apparel and Fashion. Welcome to the show, Sister Israel.
Hello, how are you? And thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here this afternoon.
Oh, that's great. Again, we here at Wish Upon a Star want to thank you for actually your support. Our audience, like I said, is getting ready for the holidays, and when I found out that you were a designer and also one who used those colorful fabrics that we had during the holidays, especially when we are celebrating Kwanzaa. Sister Israel, I'll let you tell us your journey and how you got into this glorious world of fashion.
Okay, you know what? It's been such a while ago, but it seems like yesterday. In my DNA, my great-grandmother and my great-aunt, they were seamstresses. Little to know that as I was sharing with my mother, she was talking about when she was going to school, her grandmother would make her clothes, and then her other grandmother would go to New York City and would buy her clothes and send it back to them. But most of their clothes was actually made. And my great aunt actually taught me how to make clothes. So with the uniqueness of talent within the family, it went down the pipeline to me. And to say that, you know, learning different things and understanding the culture and design of fashion and beauty, it helps to exemplify the beauty that we are. And the creativity comes out as I see different women wear different styles, have different looks, and then to help them to shine in their beauty and fashion.
That is such a great, profound statement, for the simple reason we do get everything from our culture, from our parents, and usually from our neighborhood. Tell us a story about the DNA and in the neighborhood when y'all used to dress up all the time.
Well, you know what, interesting, my mother, I'm from North Carolina, and in North Carolina, I always thought my parents were sharecroppers. She's like, no, we're not sharecroppers. Our father actually owned the land. And actually having to own the land, they didn't have to leave at a certain time and go back to work at a certain time. So therefore, their chance to shine was on a Sunday. So it was like your Sunday best. you know, and because they dressed very nice, and their father would go and buy different things for them, and the mother would go and buy the different fabrics, and the grandmother would do this. So everybody collectively had worked together to raise the children. It was seven of them in their household. And, of course, you know, at that particular time and era, money was in very long stretch. However, you utilize the money with the best of your ability. So if the talent was in the family and the family helping other families, that's how the children begin to look nice. And they would think, oh, wow, y'all must be wealthy. Y'all must be rich. But because of the talents within the family, they helped the family to continue to grow and flourish.
Absolutely. And I think of some of us in that particular age group or during that time can identify with that because we didn't have a lot of money. So we tried to look our best when we went to church, and we didn't need to and had to go to church every Sunday.
Exactly.
Your grandmother, she also, I understand, made quilts. Did she have a particular name for her different quilts?
There wasn't a really name for her quilts. It was just something she, with all of the extra fabric that was left over, she just made quilts. So it was a hobby for her. So I would actually see her when I would go to North Carolina in the summertime as a youth when school was out. That was a chance for me to leave the city of Baltimore and just go somewhere and just to be free and just to understand the lifestyle that you can go outside and play, you can do this, you can do that, and you still will be protected. So while in the house, I would actually see my great-grandmother with this machine and how she used her foot to make these quilts. I was like, wow, that's pretty nice. But not really understand the value until later in life. And my mother said, oh, no, we need to keep that quilt because Mama Jane, that's the quilt that she made. So that's like a family quilt and a family inheritance.
Absolutely.
So I went pride in that.
Yeah, I went to a show in the outskirts of Maryland in one of those communities where the African Americans had actually lived, and they were selling quilts. And those quilts started anywhere from $500 up to a couple $1,000s.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You were right. You are absolutely right. I don't know where all those heritage quilts are, but I'm sad to say that I don't think a lot of us own them.
Right.
So in your
research... Exactly, because they're probably in museums now.
Exactly, and they're probably in the museums. Mm-hmm. In your research also, Sister Israel, what aspect did you find in the diasporas of Africa relative to the fashion culture?
Well, you know, when I traveled to Ghana, West Africa, I was always, first of all, I've always wanted to go to a country where as most of the folks look like me. You know, when you turn on the TV, when you go to the post office, everywhere you go. So when I had the opportunity, I traveled with a young lady, her name is Vida Mwa. She was able to get into the doorway of making clothes for Stevie Wonder and a couple of other celebrities. So therefore, with assisting her at that particular time, I had an opportunity to travel over to Ghana. You know, I had a free ticket, you know, so it was a lot that was real positive for me in just actually seeing the fashions and the culture as I saw the brothers and sisters to walk around and turn on the TV and go to the post office. So it was really an eye-opener that, you know, continuously stayed with me. And as I traveled in Washington, D.C., I saw how culture was, you know, moving forward. And as I traveled in Baltimore and the different Kwanzaa events and different other culture events happening, I saw that cultural fashions and African fashions was really something that was really going on. Because when you think about everyone wears something from another country, you go to the stores, it's from China, you go to the stores, it's from Japan, you go to the stores, it's from China, there's some everywhere else, you know. So for me to have a label that say YBI, African Fashion Apparel, made in Baltimore, made in USA, that's a great thing.
Right. So what you're saying is that even when you were over in Africa, and again, a lot of transparent people in Washington, they wore their African garb with great pride and joy.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you saw the elders walking down the street, and when they walked down the street, you know, you saw that they had, you know, they was very royal with a lot of dignity. They was royal with a lot of dignity. And they wore it proudly, even with the little girls. They wore it proudly. Even Kayla, I think about 5 years ago, I had a fashion show celebrating our culture. And I work with some of the young daughters here in the Baltimore area, as well as some of the schools in Baltimore where they celebrate and promote African culture, which is really, really great and really nice.
That's great.
That's an eye-opener.
Yeah, and I again, is very upset somewhat that we don't have a lot of that in the stores like you see the other cultures. You have their clothing in the stores and online, mm-hmm. but you don't see a big barrage of them having a reflection of the African culture. And the fabrics are just absolutely gorgeous. They're mm-hmm. beautiful. They're using them for a lot of other things, but they won't use them in the fashion shows. Like in the fashion shows, mm-hmm. I'll look at the Paris fashion shows when the designers come out, and you don't see that. And that's a little disturbing to me. Here you have right. a great culture that has all the fabrics and textiles of so many different tribes that are just beautiful, and they don't have it in the fashion shows.
Right, well, generally, the fashion shows that I do have, everyone knows. When they think about African culture, when they think about the African scene, they're like, oh, call Sister Wabia. Go see her, 5115 Park Heights Avenue. She's there. She's available. She'll promote
right.
her culture. She'll promote that fashion. So I never turn the door as to African fashions and culture. So the
right, because I know a lot
open.
Of churches, at least once a month, they do have the African cultural celebration within the church. And all of the congregations, or most of them, wear African culture clothing to celebrate that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say somebody
mm-hmm.
came to your shop, Israel, and they wanted a garment. How do you attend to that particular one-on-one design for a customer? What do you do?
Well, I do have a catalog that they can see some of the styles that I have created. And then we do have a area where they can look at fabric and choose a fabric that they may like. We may have some clothes that's on the line, and it may not be their particular size or their particular style. So we will recreate something for them. One of the ladies just came maybe in the summertime, and she was finished a class, so she had to wear all white. And so she came into the store, and we created a look for her. Because, as you know, we're tall. You know, we come in different sizes, shapes, forms, and everything. So, therefore, with the beauty of getting something custom made for you is a great pleasure for me as well as the customer.
Oh, absolutely. And I know they are absolutely beautiful because I went to one store at another mall, and
mm-hmm.
this particular lady, I'm sure you know of them because it's not that many, and they,
right.
I could see some of the beautiful clothes that they had designed and made, like you said, for all sizes.
Because our sizes may start from a 0, a 4, to a 22, to a plus. So we have that size range for every woman. So we have not excluded anyone. Even the young lady I may meet at conventions, and she said, well, do you have my size? I said, oh, you're a size 4. I'm like, oh, okay, right. So somebody said, well, do you have my size? I said, yes, we do carry a large range of plus sizes as well. And if you come and see something that you like and it needs to be altered, we do alterations on the spot. So we are prepared to make alterations on the spot, as well as if the church would like specific headgear or a shawl, we could make a collection of them. So a dozen plus, we could manufacture that for you.
Excellent. Well, you know, I met you at the Griot concert, where all the participants looked absolutely beautiful in their African cultural fashions, and that's
yes,
where
yes.
I met you. So tell me, I do not know that much about the actual fabrics and textiles themselves. What are some of the names of the, like, say, soft or comfortable or bold and natural fabric names of African culture?
Well, one fabric that's real,
what?
Yes, ma'am. One fabric that's very popular now because of the fall season going into the going into the winter. It's called mud cloth. Mud cloth.
Say
is
again.
100% mud cloth.
Oh yeah, I've heard
mud
of that.
Cloth. Mud cloth is 100% cotton, and it comes in different looks and different shapes. You know, so no one piece will be the same. And generally, mud cloth may come from Mali. So therefore, sometimes when mud cloth is created, it's created according to the village that you were raised in or that you were from.
Oh, right.
Exactly. And then when you get to various types of fabric, there's called brocade. Cotton brocade comes from one particular country because the country of Africa is very large. We could go from Zimbabwe. We could go from South Africa. So it broadens according to your country culture. Then there's a wax fabric. There's a wax fabric that's very shiny, the very shiny fabric for nice formal occasions. Then we have the gala, which the ladies wear for head wraps, you know, that's real flamboyant, you know, and are used for very special events and fashion shows. So a lot of women from West Africa and East Africa enjoy wearing the gala, which, you know, makes a fashion statement for all.
Oh, that's great. Before we take a break, I just want you to mention where you're located and
yes,
a telephone number and a website.
Okay.
And we're going to do that intermittently so that people can write it down. So go ahead. The name of your fashion is?
The name is YBI African Fashions in Apparel. I'm located inside of a family business called Scott and Sons Furniture Store at 5115 Park Heights Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. The phone number is 410-542-6925. 410-542-6925. And just to say, this is an area that we are in the process of revitalizing. You know, people talk about Park Heights and a lot of things happening. I'm the vice president of the Pimlico Merchant Association, and my job and role is to help revitalize the neighborhood to make it safer for you to come and shop.
All right, fine. On that note, Adrian, we're going to take a break about 10 seconds, and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back in 10 seconds.
Right. Let's get loose.
This trick.
Yeah.
That.
What up, y'all? Just came to your city to say what's up.
What up?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Show me love.
Show me love.
Hey.
Hop off the plane to a new show.
What up?
And all the shorties, they be waiting on me. Thugs packing they pistols. But ain't nobody aiming on me. Got a pocket full of fresh dough.
Dough, baby.
So you know I gotta bake it, homie.
Bake it for me.
And I'm thankful. Get whatever you want, it's on me.
It's on me.
New songs.
Hi, thanks for listening to Wish Upon a Star. This is Andale Banks, your host. And we are broadcasting on BBSRadio.com, Station 2. If you would like to listen to some of our previous broadcasts, go to www.BBSRadio.com, Station 2, and link into the archives. We also welcome comments and suggestions about the show. Please send these to BI email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, we welcome comments and suggestions emailed at musicradio34@gmail.com. Today, our honored guest is Sister Israel, who is the designer and fashion, I would say, cultural expert in African-American fashion. YBI, African-American Cultural Designs. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister. And one thing I like to say is that we also carry a boutique flair, because some ladies, we still growing into African culture, you know,
right?
The pieces. So therefore, we have that boutique wear where it's just a little bit of African, but still connecting with your culture and still making you feel comfortable and glamorous and beautiful.
Excellent. When you did all of this, and how long have you been doing this? Well, you started when you were younger, but how long have you been in business?
Right. I've been in business for about 7 years. It's so interesting you mentioned that, because one of my motivators also was my father, William Scott, because I had mentioned earlier that I was working with a young lady writer. So I was helping her. We were doing conventions. We were going from state to state. So he had always encouraged, well, why don't you work for yourself in fashion? And it really wasn't my idea at that particular time. And I was like, oh, well, you know how we say we'll get to it? Well, that
right.
was a we'll get a wish list page, not realizing that that was really my calling. So once I had gotten more involved, I was like, wow, this is really working. And I got more involved. I was like, wow, they really liking my fashion. And when I got more involved, I was like, you know what, I'm doing this full time. So that's how the window began to open wider and wider and wider. So that's how I became where I am today. And look in the future to federal government contracts, because me being a designer and making and knowing how to produce clothes. So that's the next window that I'm looking forward to going into as a small businesswoman in business.
Well, good, because that sort of captures on the other side of the corner for what I was going to ask you. What is your vision and mission for YBI and some of the major functions that you, like you said, you see in the future? Can you elaborate a little more on that, or you already said it?
Yes, I could repeat because, again, for the audience that just came on the line. My vision is to exemplify culture at every level, be it boutique style, be it African flair. Also, the vision is to have my fashion in other stores in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, Baltimore, Virginia, Washington metropolitan area, and also to have some sewing classes for the young daughters, because having a trade and having some kind of talent is so important for our young girls, because if the grandmother isn't there, if the auntie isn't there, then they are children raising children. So therefore, giving them some kind of value is important, and that's something that they would enjoy.
Oh, absolutely.
So my target is to... So, again, you know, to target and to expose myself into various fashion shows. I was able to have a fashion show at Arlington Elementary School, which is in the Park Heights area. And the daughters were so happy to be a part of the fashion show. They were just excited. And then we did a fashion show at Kemp. I was able to make their African skirts for African dance they did for Kwanzaa. You know, and I work with Studio A. They also have a etiquette class for our young daughters. And just sort of moving around in the Baltimore area, work with various magazines and churches and you name it. People call me. My phone is ringing off the hook now at 410-542-6925. So that whenever you're ready for your African culture, your African fashion, your ethnic, let me be the first one on your list to call.
Okay, we have listened or went into part of the history. Would business structure be something that you've already talked about, or can you, part of your business plan, what is the business structure and the market trend that you might be looking forward to, like going into other stores, or how do you see yourself expanding on making this something that everybody can be introduced to?
Well, the market trend, as we had mentioned earlier, was to market my clothes in various boutiques, which is one, and also looking forward to governmental contracts, because within the governmental contracts, there's things that some of the doctors wear. They're like caps. So sometimes maybe they may want to wear some of those caps, but have it in the African culture style. So those are some of the visions, you know, of the marketing strategy. I look forward to going into deeper. And of course, social media is that these days?
Exactly.
And mm-hmm. so having my niece to be more involved in the business, she's a young daughter, so having her to be more involved and she's and the youth are more computer savvy than myself. So again, the social media, the Facebook, the web page, all of that is something to look forward to. The internet, the fashion shows, again, Facebook page, magazines, private parties, religious social fundraisers, national organization conventions. So those are some of the things that I have actually moved forward to on a yearly basis, because some conventions are every year worldwide, be it Baltimore, Hilton Head, South Carolina, and then it gives me a chance to travel and see other cultures and fashions at the same time. So to say that African fashion for 2014 moving forward is definitely a distinctive outlook that we could all look forward to on traditional African colors in a way that we could design our fashion to move it forward to the fashion for that urban style and that urban look for today.
Great. I know you've toured, too, like you said before, and you have shared your fashions with a variety of churches, national conventions, and also Baltimore City Schools. What other people have you toured with in the Baltimore metropolitan area? I think you mentioned Travis Winky. Did you mention?
Yes. I did have an opportunity to work with Travis Winkley. He does a national event down at Lexington Market. So I was able to do a couple of shows with him at Lexington Market and around in the city. I also work with different organizations like the Deltas. They do a spring, summer fashion show. So I was able to work with Flair Studio. They were the ones who actually produced the Flair, to produce the fashion show for the summer. So, and then I have a couple of my friends, our pastoral friends, Pastor Knox, she has something at her church, a prayer tea for women. Mm-hmm. And then there's another pastor, she has something at her church, her daughter's been doing some bazaar for the holiday season. So again, networking is powerful. And my networking has reached, you know, a lot of channels, you know, a lot of ways. I've traveled over to Washington, D.C., worked with the Dorothy Heights women, definitely looking forward to the women being in business. So that has been well. They're having an event tomorrow in AACP. They're down at the Hilton, so I'll have the opportunity to share my fashion and my designs there as well. It definitely has been moving, and it's moving more and more. Again, that one little blessing is just going to be overpouring me. And one other event is that I'm in the process of having ownership of the building. So 5115 Park Heights Avenue is definitely one of the places you will want to be a part of a great historical event for me being in business and owning my own building, both at the same time.
Oh, that's excellent. That is absolutely great. I know you've also been mentioned in different local paper magazines, too. Tell us about that. I think Baltimore Times, what did they do with that? Was that an interview?
Yeah, Baltimore Times, we did something in Baltimore Times. That was an event we had produced. It's a annual summer children event that had taken place 2014. And at that particular time, we had a fashion show that was featured along with other activities that we did for the children. Then also a friend of mine has a magazine called Name It Magazine. Name It Magazine, again, talks about fashion and beauty, and that's produced out of Washington, D.C. Then you can find me on the webpage. It's called The Magazine for the Natural Expression of Health, Beauty, and Art. And that was produced maybe like about 2 years ago, a very good article. It's called Sowing Cultural Seeds, and it gives a more in-depth understanding, you know, of who I am and my vision and where I want to go. Because Levi Jeans started, and just like all the other designers started, I'm on that same window.
Excellent. Tell us about your website and how
the
website can go to your website.
Yes, the website is www.sisteryesybi.org, O-R-G. So that's the website that's up in, that's the website that I have.
Okay, let's repeat that one more time.
It's www.sisteryesybi.org.
Excellent.
And the phone number is 410-542-6925. The address is 5115 Park Heights Avenue, Baltimore, Maryland. My hours of operation is Monday through Friday from 10 to 7 and on Saturday from 10 to 6. And if you want me to reach me before then, my cell phone number, my direct number is 202-460-7319, 202-460-7319.
Thank you. I know there may be some people out there, sisters, that might want to even start sewing or designing. Can you give them some kind of a general outline of what people can do? Where, you know, a lot of people want to do a lot of things, but just don't know how to get started. They just sit there, and I do that myself. And I just procrastinate, and just, I want to do this, but I don't know how to start. You have that push and pull to do what you want to do. What kind of influence can you give our listening audience? And that's for everybody, not just for young people, but some of us who really want to do sewing or some kind of design.
Well, you know what? One avenue that I had really learned and understood is that when I began to do my business plan, it really opened up my eyes, because doing a business plan, you have to research. You have to research, you know. You have to
Okay, well, let's take this slow so that we can write this down. One thing that you do is start your business plan, and we go ahead, research.
Okay, you have to start your business plan. If it's something that you're real serious about, you want to get a license, your LLC license.
Okay.
And that's downtown. So once you get your license, then you can begin to move forward, and you can begin to put things in place. Think about a logo you like to use for that people can be attracted to you. Like, okay, look for the logo, you look for her. So we want to think about a logo. And then, as we had mentioned earlier, that business plan will actually give you a complete overview of a lot of things that you may not have even thought about. You know, you may not have thought about the dynamics of the marketing segment or the marketing trend. And that's when it goes into your research as to say your marketing size and how far do you want to grow within your marketing size. The dynamics, the demographics, who is your market? Where would your market be? You know, so these are some of the things that you may want to look at and see. You may want to consider, do you want to have several seamstresses, or do you want to use just yourself? You may want to look at your cost analysis. What is it going to cost me? How much money would I need to actually get started? You may want to look into some grant programs that may be available for you and for what you would like to do. But as I begin to research the business plan, and as I begin to dabble and look further into the business plan, it began to open up my eyes and help me to see other avenues in which I can go into, not just sewing directly, but manufacturing. Because, again, I am for profit, and being for profit, we want to look for the most profitable things that will make the time worthwhile, our efforts and energy. But, again, everything starts with a thought, and then as that thought begins to grow, the seed will begin to grow, and the window of blessings will begin to follow you. Because if it's your passion and if it's what you enjoy doing, just ideas and dreams will come in your mind. And as these things come into your mind, begin to write them down and begin to stay focused on that vision and surround yourself with folks, with people with the same like mind. It helps.
Wow, that's a lot, and you're absolutely correct. The only interjection somebody might have would be location. I know they, in your market plan, lots of times they always tell you to location, location, location. But I think what you've done is to let you know you may not get the, you know, the primary location that you might want, but if you do these other aspects, that you will be able to manipulate no matter where you are, as long as somebody wants the product.
Exactly. Customer base is very important, but what's on top of a customer base is called a customer service.
Ah,
you want to give the customer the best service as if you were to give yourself. And being in business, sometimes some businesses may not flourish because they may have skills, but they may have to upgrade on their customer base.
Right.
So that customer base and that building that character and that personality is just as important as designing that outfit.
Exactly. What we're going to do now, Sisters Rules, I'm going to give you a chance to get a glass of water, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in 15 seconds.
Okay, great.
Hi, welcome back. This is your host, Andell Banks, on Wish You're Kind of Star. And we are live on station www.bbsradio.com, station 2. Thanks so much for listening. And you want to hear our previous broadcast, just go to our website and click on the archives link. We welcome comments and suggestions for that. Email us at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, our honored guest today is Sister Israel, YBI African designer of African apparel and fashion. When we left, we were speaking with Sister Israel about the actual business plan that one might need when they are getting ready to start a business. So, what I want to ask you now is about when you do your particular fabrics and your designs, in your designing, do you actually look for a certain pattern for a certain garment?
Well, most of my I like to say I'm a freelance designer. You know, you have some designers that use patterns. Patterns is good, but sometimes it can be a little complicated. Being that freelance designer makes it so nice. I try to make fashion and design clothes that will fit every woman. You know, belts are very popular according to what you wear and what the style of the outfit is. So if I have a particular outfit and you may be a four, okay, we can put on a belt. And you may be a plus, okay, you can have it loose, but it still be loose and flowing and something uniquely for your body frame. Fabrics that are very more comfortable for the body, I like nice cotton fabrics. Cotton linens are very nice for the summer. Sometimes you get some more heavier linen for the fall. You have a variety of cotton fabrics. There's organic fabrics, there's silk. Mm-hmm. So there are so many different types of fabrics that you can choose from. And the natural fabric is better for the body because it's breathable. You know, you hear about a cancer here and disease there. Our body is built of 21,000 cells. plus.
Right.
So therefore, wearing certain fabrics is extremely important to your health and well-being. So we try to push as much natural fabric as possible because we know those natural fabrics are breathable and much more healthier for the body.
Oh, absolutely. I love cotton myself. On that same vein, there is another organization. I don't know if you started it or you're the director. International Fashion Designer. Is that just a title that you use or is that an organization?
Oh, International Fashion Design, that's one of those titles I use because when you travel abroad, you become international because you begin to see international fashion and it crosses borders. One of the visions is I'm looking to work with one of the countries over in Africa so that I could help feed a family, feed a village, and we could, you know, in African culture, it's called barter. Barter is smarter, a service for a service. So as they begin to make fashions for me, the proceeds, the money that's made, will go over there to feed some families and to feed some villages.
Exactly. Like you're saying, everything's abroad. This is an international show as well, and it's most interesting when you meet people and talk to people from all over the world. Mm-hmm. In the fashion designer arena, you said you like to make your own patterns. But the younger set, they go towards what is now everything is digital. I even had to change my music over to digital as a jazz DJ. What do you think about that? Do you think that technical drawing is needing in fashion design? Do you think that digital designs can be made or used? Or what do you think about that aspect where people don't use their own creativity, but technology has interjected?
I feel like the technology is definitely a wonder that is being moving forward. Digital, you know, you never take anything away because you never know what is the creativity for you. Maybe digital for you may be like perfect. So that's something that could blossom in your wonder. You know, I haven't ventured into digital as much, but I'm sure, again, dealing with the younger generation that is more computer savvy, technical savvy, I'm sure that is a wonder that I would like to look more into as well. Because as you design your wonder piece, there's also a technical version as to say how you would like your showroom to be. So I'm sure it's the same with fashion, and I've actually seen it in some of the fashion books. So that is something definitely to look forward to the next.
Right. Don't the next never cross
future,
anything out. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like I told you off air that I just bought another sewing machine.
Yes.
And I'm going to go back to sewing again. Is there any outlinable sewing techniques that you can probably pass on as well? Because some people would love to do it, but they don't want to go to class and don't know it, and you don't even have those classes anymore, really. You remember in the fabric store, they used to have somebody there because my girlfriend did it one time.
Right.
Where they would show
people.
Well,
you know.
So, go ahead.
Now because fashion in the stores have been, like, downgraded. At Sister Banks, as we had mentioned earlier, fashion has been downgraded so much. It's like when they make something, it's really not made for you in mind, technically so, because everything that's made does not fit everybody's body. And there's another trend of folks that are actually making fashion. So they're making fashion for crossover dimensions of sexes. You know what I'm saying? So if you're wearing something a little more feminine, it may be an outfit, but it may not be feminine enough, you know, for you. So my suggestion is to make some scarves. Straight sewing is very important, you know, because you don't want to get something and the stitches is up and down and in and out. So make some scarves. Make something that is simplicity. Make something that is simple, but simple can also be beautiful according to your fabric. If you have gorgeous fabric, you don't need to do a whole lot with gorgeous fabric. You just need to make something that's fitting for your body frame.
Well, you're absolutely correct, because I think I might have told you that I had, when after I bought the machine, I noticed that it wasn't the design, it was the fabric. And I said I was going to ask you, are there any fabric sites or places to purchase fabrics, you know, all around the country that you can suggest, or fabric, you know, because everybody does everything on the web now.
Right, exactly. Well, I have fabric here that I sell in the store at 5115 Hawkeyes Avenue. And then there's places such as Joanne Fabrics. Because some of the fashion clothing stores and fashion stores, fabric stores, have closed. So they left the bigger stores open, and then there's more of a demand for the fabric stores to come back. Even Walmart some of the Walmart has fabric in the stores. You have to go out in Towson.
I didn't know that.
You have to go out in Towson. You have to go out in Pikesville. But closer to the inner city, they may not have too much of the fabric. But if you go further out in the suburbs, that's where the fabric stores are. Joann's is another good place. They have all different types of fabrics as well. So look for those coupon ladies. And also, brothers, look for those coupons so that you could begin to get some of those discounts. Because if it's selling for $25 and you got 60% off, then, hey, you got a good deal. If you want to travel to New York City, of course, that's the fabric market of the world. So that's another place where you can go and purchase your fabric. You may want to have a New York day. Why not? Chinatown, West Coast, all the time. I'm not promoting them, but I'm just saying. You may want to have a day where you have an outing. And check out the fashion garment. Check out the fabric garment. Because there's a host of places. Even in Washington, D.C., there's another fabric place. So as you begin to check the web page and the Yellow Pages, you'll begin to see, well, Yellow Pages, no one's doing Yellow Pages no more. So as you begin to Google, you'll begin to see where the other fabric stores or where fabric stores are located in Baltimore area, in the Baltimore metropolitan area. And also on Everyone Place on North Avenue, they have fabric there as well. So those are the ones that I may go to venture to purchase different types of fabric.
That was some good info, because I had no idea that they're beginning to sell material again into the other department stores besides the ones that we know that actually deal in selling fabrics.
Exactly.
Another thing I wanted to ask you, Sister Israel, what do you think, without naming anybody, about the current designers? Like I tell you, I always look at the Paris fashion show. After it's over, I go online and look at it. And I noticed they come up with certain things, or current designs, called grab bag design, where everybody looks like they're getting ready to go take out the trash. What do you think about those concepts that they're bringing into the fashion world now?
Well, I know one of the concepts is called the trunk. It's called you could say grab bag, or you could say trunk party. I know that's one of the names, you know, that is cross country, that they may say is called a trunk party. And, you know, a grab bag, you know, again, I haven't ventured, you know, too much in that area, but I'm sure so many new things that's, you know, actually on the market, so I can't speak, you know, more in depth of that. But I know that South Africa, you know, their fashions is beginning to be, you know, high on the charts, because again, the European fashions are now being turned over into African culture fabric with the European look. That's one, you know, design. One thing I can say about YBI African Fashion and Apparel, I look to make their fashions a modest dress. Because, you know, everything does not have to be revealing to the eyes. What about the imagination? So, you know, some things can be left to the imagination. So my fabric, my fashions can be fitted for your body, but I don't do too much form-fitting kind of clothes. I do modest wear, business wear, professional wear. That's the kind of fashion in which I market.
Which lasts for hundreds and hundreds of years, because that's the way I dress. I don't follow too much of the fashion. I follow what trends to my personality and
exactly.
My idea and design. So you're absolutely right on that. But mm-hmm. the current designs also sort of tell me that people don't want to dress up anymore. What do you think about that concept? And not only women, because I'm sure you do things for men, so we're going to talk about the non-appearance of people who, when they go out. I've been to several fairs. It might cost $50 up to $150, and they still don't dress. What is your thought on that, being a fashion designer? Because I feel that when I see
our brothers and sisters with fashion and moving around to and fro and going to different events and things like that, my area is that I like to encourage them. You know, I'm like, oh, well, one note that I say in my marketing sales is I asked them, I said, well, do you own an African outfit?
Okay.
I said, well, you need to at least have one African outfit in your wardrobe. So, you know, marketing fashion, it's like homework, you know. So when I go and I'm at a convention, I'm at a show, it's like I am marketing African fashion, African culture to help and put another mindset within our brothers and sisters. Like, okay, we can wear this. It's really okay. You know what I'm saying? And then when they actually put the outfit on and look at themselves in the window and see how nice they look,
you're absolutely right, because I did it with my art.
When
I go to an affair, I said, oh, and I'll tell them, I have several titles. So it all depends on where I am. I say I'm an artist. And I said, you've got to have art in your house. And you're absolutely right. Because when I went to the Griot concert, I didn't even have an African outfit. Oh, I felt so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the dress that I wore was an African print almost, but it wasn't what I really wanted, what I'd love to have worn. So you're absolutely correct.
Exactly.
Like every man should have a tuxedo in his closet. Everybody should have an African culture outfit in their closet, maybe more than one, but I'm saying you should at least have one. So what do you do for the men?
Well, what we do for the men, most of my men clothes, some of the fashions are imported from Ghana and Liberia, West Africa. Some, when I am in that sewing mindset, I'll make a dozen of men's shirts. But everything that you will find at YBI African Fashion and Apparel, everything is one of a kind. So we master on having one outfit of every style. So if it's 100 different outfits in the store, there's 100 different styles in the store. Because we all have so many different styles, different looks, different sizes, different shapes. So there's 100 different of whatever you may see, but you will see something you will like, even in the men's selection. So the men's selection is actually growing more and more. So whether it be a kufi that they may wear, or a kente cloth vest, or two-piece up and down, or just a shirt with a crown, there's something that he's going to like for his, and it's all the time, the fabric is not always African print. It may be a brocade. It may be two different tones of brocade. The brocade is 100% cotton fabric. It may be a shade of dark green and a shade of light green. But again, it still gives that nice flair where he can still get his swag on.
Right, I've seen the men with the bow ties and the vest, and I think in the kunte kente cloth, and it really is beautiful. It looks absolutely beautiful. What I want you to do now is, again, tell us the name of your company, where you're located, your telephone numbers, and your website.
Yes, ma'am. I'm located in the Pimlico Racetrack area. My address is 5115 Park Heights Avenue, inside of Scott and Sons Furniture Store. The phone number is 410-542-6925. 410-542-6925. The webpage is www.sisteryes YBI.org. My direct number is 202-460-7319. If you have any questions, something you need to, if you need to contact me right away, if you need to, if there's something on the web page that you may not see, definitely give me a call. You can search me on the YouTube as well. There's a video. So when you look for Sister Yes, YBI, you'll actually see that there's two videos on the internet of YBI that was actually produced in front of the store. So there's some good looks that you're going to see and that you will enjoy. And be sure to stop past for your shopping pleasures. We're having a sale all the way up to Kwanzaa. And we definitely look forward to seeing you. We have a lot of trinkets. We talked about fashion. We have scarves. We have purses, accessories, something just with you in mind. So, Sister Banks, I have truly enjoyed you giving me the opportunity to speak on Wish Upon a Star. It has definitely been a pleasure, again, and a joy to share my experience and to share my talents with everyone listening today.
Well, I can't say any more than the fact that all of the staff here at Wish Upon a Star, thank you for your support. We can't make it unless we have you. Again, Sister Israel, thank you again, and we want to say happy holidays to you. We're going to take a break for about 10 seconds, and then, ladies and gentlemen, we will be back for sign-off. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Shining bright. I looked out of the window.
Hi, welcome back. This is Andale Banks, your host of Wish Upon a Star. We are going on vacation, Wish Upon a Star staff, and the coordinator, Denise Banks, and my and yours truly, would like to just extend happy holidays greetings to every one of our listeners. The holiday, like I said before, it comes with joy, family, friends, and all the culture identification pleasantries. When we think of the holidays, we do think of what are we going to do, New Year's and for the New Year. For the New Year, I wish you would include and the celebration of Kwanzaa. In the celebration of Kwanzaa, there are seven principles. Number one, unity. Think about striving for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, and create for ourselves and speak for ourselves. Collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. In these turbulent times, cooperative economics to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses and to profit from them together. Purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and developing of our community in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. Faith, to believe with all our heart in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Created by Dr. Karenga. We are embarking on our third year of Wish Upon a Star, broadcasting on www.bbsradio.com, Station 2. We, again, appreciate you listening to our show and can listen to all the previous broadcasts in the archive link. We also welcome comments and suggestions. And you can send that via email at musicradio34@gmail.com. Again, our coordinator, Andel, Denise Banks, and I'm your host, Andel, with the most deepest thanks to everyone who's listened to our program, who has participated as our guest, and for those who are going to be the guests in the future. We go on vacation in December, and we wanted to let you know this message from the bottom of our heart. At birth, we boarded the train and met our parents. And we believe they will always travel on our side. However, at some station, our parents will step down from the train, leaving us on this journey alone. As time goes by, other people will board the train, and they will be significant too. Our siblings, friends, children, and even the love of your life. Many will step down and leave a permanent vacuum. Others will go so unnoticed that we don't realize they vacated their seats. This train ride will be full of joy, sorrow, fantasy, expectations, hellos, goodbyes, and farewells. Success consists of having a good relationship with all the passengers, requiring that we give the best of ourselves. The mystery to everyone is, we do not know at which station we ourselves will step down. So we must live in the best way, love, forgive, and offer the best of who we are. It is important to do this because when the time comes for us to step down and leave our seat empty, we should leave behind beautiful memories for those who will continue to travel on the train of life. We wish you a joyful journey on the train of life. Reap success and give lots of love. But more importantly, thank God for the journey. Most of all, lastly, to all of our listeners of Wish Upon a Star, we say thank you for being one of the passengers on our train that helped us to fulfill our dream. Love, peace, and happiness always. Thank you and good night.